The Mike Lupica Podcast.
We are back now with the great Mike Lupica. He's one of the country's
most prominent
sports
columnists. Mike Lupica has covered just about every sport.
Candid interviews with legends he calls friends.
I was talking to Jordan about Woods after the basketball game the other night. Everybody in sports to be the next this guy, the next this guy. And Michael said, no, he's the first Tiger.
In your face questions.
How much of a dope is he?
Compelling.
A billion-dollar industry, the biggest we've ever had in sports in this country, often comes down to a flip of the coin.
This is the Mike Lupica Podcast. Here's Mike Lupica.
Thanks for joining us on the Mike Lupica Podcast. Today we are joined by a former coach and a current first-rate analyst for the NBA on both ESPN and ABC. You heard him breaking down the NBA Finals. You've heard him talking with us all season about the NBA and telling you, by the way, that a team from the Eastern Conference was going to dethrone the Warriors this year. I'm lucky enough to call him a friend. He's the great Jeff Van Gundy. But before we get started with Jeff, today's episode of this show is being brought to you by Geico. Everybody's got a to-do list. Drop off the dry cleaning, pick up some milk. Here's an idea. Let's save hundreds of dollars on car insurance. And the good thing is you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. All you have to do is go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Extra money in your pocket? It just may be the most rewarding to-do you do today. Welcome back to the Mike Lupica Podcast. And, you know, we had Charlie Barkley on the other day, and I was saying that there are a handful of people who are responsible for the success and the popularity of this podcast who are with us from the beginning. One of them is my friend, Jeff Van Gundy. You just saw him and Mike Breen and Mark Jackson continue their fine work on the NBA Finals, which turned out to be compelling in ways that we never could have imagined when it began. He coached the Knicks. He coached the Rockets. We didn't know when he left the Knicks that he was taking them with him. He and Patrick Ewing, they screwed Knicks fans and all basketball lovers in New York, but he joins us now. Hey, Coach.
How you doing?
You know, who knew that you, when you left that day in, December of, 2001, you were taking the Knicks with you?
Yeah, I don't think that's probably accurate, but it's been, I thought they were right over the hump, right, when they had Kidd and Anthony in that group.
Yeah.
And that group could have easily gone on to the Eastern Conference Finals that year. But it just shows you, even with all the resources of the Knicks, New York City, it still comes back to who you pick to be on your roster, who you pick to pick the roster, who you pick to coach the roster. Those are the three most important things. And hopefully they're on the right track. And if you're a Knicks fan, you get Durant and you get somebody else. And you go from there.
Jeff, again, there's so much to unpack about last season in the NBA, which just ended, and this season, which has already begun. But let's start with Durant, because so many dominoes seem to start to fall when he fell. Do you have any problem with him being on the court that night? And I know he wanted to play. I know he is a grown man. I know he is in charge of his own basic franchise himself. But was this an instance where the team maybe should have saved him from himself?
Now, I've read that, argument. And from all I can tell, they had multiple doctors present the same information with the same risk, which was only to his calf. And obviously they were wrong. Each of the doctors that said that, they were obviously wrong. But I don't think it was bad intentions. And people said, well, he wouldn't have played if it wasn't the finals. And I agree with that. I agree with that. And that's why you do play and you do adjust your risk reward. Now, no one would have put him out there. Durant wouldn't have gone out there. The Warriors wouldn't have put him out there if they would have known in hindsight what happened. But I was thinking to myself, what risk is acceptable risk and what risk is not acceptable?
Right.
If you could put it on a percentage wise,
right.
Is it 10? Is it 15? And I think it probably would vary for each individual and each game and for each team. And I'm not sure. I don't think, listen, the information obviously was wrong, but I don't think their process was wrong. And I just feel bad for the player.
Jeff, I talked about this with Charles Barkley the other day. And how much do you believe all the noise got to Kevin Durant?
Well, I think the media who wrote the noise, Mike, would try to disavow that it had any impact, because ultimately they were wrong too. And I never thought of it as a decision whether if he played, he was tough and gritty, and if he didn't, he wasn't tough and gritty. I hated those articles that came out after his injury that said this proved that Kevin Durant was all in. No, it didn't. You'd have to be around him all day to know, or all his whole career and all season to know if he was in or not. And so I think the media wants to disavow it, but I think we also know, watching particularly the last 3 or 4 years, that he cares deeply about what people say about him. Whether it's people who cover them on a daily basis or just random people on social media, Kevin Durant cares. And so I think to say that it had no impact would be naive. I think it absolutely had an impact. And I think it probably impacted everyone around him as well that helped him decide whether he was healthy enough to play or not. And so, yes, I think it had an impact.
All right, let's go. Let's talk about the finals for a moment. Jeff, you know, it's so funny. All season long, we were obsessed about where Durant might play next. And we were obsessed about where Anthony Davis might play next. And now, obviously, we know about Anthony Davis. Durant is completely unknowable. But what turned out to be important, more than anything else and any other narrative in the sport, was where Kawhi Leonard was playing right now.
So, I don't know if you feel the same way, Mike, but I think more and more of our fans are interested in the off season than the season. And so I think what, especially with guys sitting out games like Kawhi Leonard did throughout the regular season, playing in Toronto, it sort of, you know, you knew they were doing very well and they were playing very well without him, and he was having a good season when he did play, but you really didn't pay that much attention. And then come the playoffs, and they have that great 7-game series against Philly and his remarkable 4-bounce shot to advance them, and then the good comeback against Milwaukee, and now you're in the finals against this dynasty who ends up not having two of their three best players, and he goes on and wins finals MVP, and it's like he snuck up on you in Toronto. And now we're here to the off season, and where's he going to play next year versus appreciating exactly what Toronto just accomplished. And obviously the injuries to the Warriors helped them, but they overcame some things, particularly the 0-2 deficit that could have been 0-3 to Milwaukee in the Eastern Conference Finals.
You know, Jeff, whenever I give, you've heard me give the talk I give to kids, but I also give the same basic talk when I speak to adults, okay? I think I dumb it down for the adults. But what I always talk about in sports is the next moment is the one that can change everything. And sometimes the biggest stories turn on the smallest moments. And you're 100% right. Jeff, not only do we need a 4-bounce shot, okay, from Kawhi with him and Joel Embiid in that, now iconic picture, but they're life and death to win Game 3 against the Bucks. They're that close to being out of business. And now yesterday they're having a parade in Toronto.
It's truly remarkable. And that's why anybody, player, coach, management, owner, that doesn't understand that good fortune, whether it be the bounce of the ball or health situations, if you don't understand how much good fortune plays into who wins and who loses, then you're just being blinded by your own ego.
We're talking to Jeff Van Gundy on the Mike Lubega podcast. And Jeff, obviously, maybe you can quantify the excellence of Masai Ujiri, because the reports are that the Wizards are about to offer him the sky to come run their basketball operation. So it's Kawhi's not the only free agent who could impact the future of the Raptors greatly. But Jeff, an executive like that, a guy who's got the guts to make the Kawhi trade, even knowing it might just be for 1 year, okay? And he was able to quantify how much a championship would mean. But a guy like that is worth his weight in gold, Jeff.
Well, oftentimes people talk about that professional sports is a player's league. And I would say, I would differ a little bit. I think it's about who picks the player's league. I think the management person who is in charge of the roster in any pro sport is the most valuable or most important person in any organization, because it's all about the players in every sport. It's not about, we always want to talk intangibles. It's only the intangibles only come into play once you have enough talent. Then intangibles are important. But if you don't have the right guys, it doesn't matter how many intangibles your teams possess.
And Jeff, who could have ever thought at the start of this finals that we would be talking about Fred VanVleet as much as we did, okay? And Siakam, yeah, he's a very talented kid, and you know he was going to be a big player. But part of the beauty of stories like this is guys like Fred VanVleet.
Oh, it's a remarkable story. Because here was a guy who had a terrific four-year career at Wichita State and led his team to the Final Four, very good player along with Ron Baker. And then, like a lot of these guys who go into the draft, think they, you know, at the worst, they're going to be an early second-round pick.
Right.
And doesn't get drafted. Instead of letting that set him back, he goes to a team that wants him, even though it can't promise him a roster spot, and he actually works his way onto the roster, works his way into the rotation, and ultimately works his way into a prominent position on a championship team. And it's really a great story for everyone. Now, this guy is not athletic, but he's skilled, he's tough, and he knows how to play well with others.
Jeff, do you think that there's a chance that because of the injuries to both Durant and Klay Thompson, and by the way, I have covered sports a long time, and I have seen teams get to this point in the season and be decimated by injuries. Never in my life have I seen two guys who probably suffered injuries that will keep them out of the following season. But in a way, do you think that increases the chance of Durant coming back to the Warriors, you know, hitting the pause button the way Clay's going to have to hit the pause button, and basically saying, okay, we're going to have to wait a year, but let's put the band back together?
You know, I have no idea how Durant views things and what his priorities are.
Oh, yeah, it's like Kawhi. It's trying to read Kawhi.
Right.
It's like trying to read tea leaves.
I don't know what they value in their life. So, if Durant wants to win, I would say he would stay with the Warriors or go to the Bucks or, you know, go up and go to the Lakers and, you know, whatever. But if he values getting his own, quote, team, maybe he signs a max deal someplace else and that team knows, hey, we don't have him this year, but maybe we go into the lottery and we get a great player and have Durant coming back. So, I really don't know how he feels. I would suspect if he was definite about going back to the Warriors, like Klay Thompson seems to be, that he would have already restated those intentions. I think he's seriously contemplating leaving. I think the injury situation probably has him a little perplexed right now about where he wants to spend his season out of basketball, and who will give him what he feels is the best care. And we also don't know, deep in his heart, how much does he blame the Warriors for his injury?
Right. Right. Jeff, how much do you put in how much stock do you put in the notion? And by the way, you know, there are reasons for things and there are excuses. So Steve Kerr wasn't making any excuses, but he was talking about, you know, players that had played, you know, 100 games for the last 5 years. And you know, Clay was there. And Durant, before he got to the Warriors, he was going deep into the playoffs. And how, you know, sometimes these injuries, they don't have to be one catastrophic moment. It could be like tread blowing on a tire.
Yeah, and I think there's so much sports science out there now, people talking about, you know, that they know how to prevent injuries. If that's true, then why are we having all these injuries? I think they're doing their best. They're making best guesses. And yet we still have these rash of injuries. And so I'm unconvinced that we actually know, but it's certainly plausible what Steve Kerr said. And maybe Klay Thompson's hamstring impacts his knee. I have no idea. Maybe Durant's calf impacts his Achilles. I have no idea. And guess what? I would guess that many others don't have any idea, including those people that are making these decisions.
We're talking with my pal Jeff Van Gundy on the Mike Lupica podcast. Much more of our conversation with Jeff right after this from our great sponsor, Kronos. Kronos knows that many organizations maintaining a modern workforce of hourly, full, and part-time workers, for them, it can be a challenge. This is especially true for human resources professionals working hard to attract and retain all the best talent. That's why Kronos puts HR, payroll, talent, and timekeeping on a single cloud-based platform. It's one specially designed to give HR professionals supporting a blended workforce a whole new level of confidence. With it, they have everything they need to tackle nearly any human resources challenge and are empowered to not just find and hire the right people, but to engage, motivate, and reward them every single step of the way. Learn more about Kronos HR solutions for the modern workforce and the people who support them, because Kronos is at heart a people business, at kronos.com/HR swagger. Kronos, workforce innovation that works. Jeff, when you look at the end of game six, it's so funny. And I had no skin in the game. I wanted a long series because it turned out to be, because of the injuries and everything else, way more compelling than I thought it might be going in. But at the end of game six, I'm thinking to myself, with Clay gone and Durant gone, do I really want to see game seven, as much of a drama as it would have been back in Toronto? I think it kind of ended the way it was supposed to end last week.
Well, that's interesting. I think a game seven would have been so compelling for the pressure that Toronto would have had on it as the overwhelming favorite. To Curry, like, everyone knows he's capable. Like, could he have done another 47-point game like he did in game three and do it on the road and have, you know, Cousins or Green, you know, have the game of their life? I would have loved to have seen a game seven, but the better team in this series won. I thought Toronto, for the most part, some part due to injury, but other parts due to just Toronto being really good, I thought they played better than Golden State for the majority of the series.
I'm talking to someone, I don't know how many podcasts we did during the season, but you were steadfast in one prediction throughout the season. You kept telling me that the NBA champion was going to come out of the Eastern Conference. Why were you so fixed on that notion?
I didn't really think that Golden State had played well, particularly defensively. I think, you know, the stats will tell you, when you're not a top 10 defensive team, it's hard. It's really hard to go all the way through the playoffs. And yet, once they got to the finals, which I was unsure about as well, I didn't think necessarily that they would beat Houston. But once they did, I thought the way all the talk was that Durant was going to be back,
he was going to be healthy. And then I'm like, well, they're going to win the finals. And then Durant doesn't come back. He goes out in game five, Thompson in game six. And then my prediction looks good after when the finals started. I wasn't sure about it.
Jeff, do the Raptors winning, do they give hope to a whole bunch of teams in the, do they give hope to Denver? Do they give hope to, I'm not talking about the big teams historically. Do they give hope to the Trailblazers, the Bucks, the Sixers? Did what they do this year open the possibilities for the league that I imagine Adam Silver wants to have?
Well, I think it comes down to smart roster building, like in Denver, right? I think Tim Conley in Denver, Josh Kroenke, all those people involved, Michael Malone, if we make the right decisions with our players, even if we don't have high draft picks, but if we pick the right guys, we can win an NBA championship. I think absolutely smart management got a boost. The way Toronto's roster was built, I think gives hope to all teams that, yes, you need that star of stars like Kawhi, right? But you can, even without the high lottery picks, you can win at the highest level in the NBA if you have a smartly built roster. I absolutely think it tells GMs, we don't need to always swing for the fences. We can keep building our roster piece by piece and do it in an intelligent, methodical manner. This championship didn't happen in 1 year. Kawhi came this year to finish it off. But this building of a roster and this building of a team has been going on for a long time in Toronto. And the only thing that was different was LeBron James was in their way. This year he's out west and Kawhi comes in.
You may have heard that the Lakers made some news this week. Are you aware that the Lakers made some news this week, Jeff?
It's a bigger story than the Toronto Raptors winning the championship. That's what boggles my mind. Like, we have a trade. I mean, that dominated the news cycle. And the parade from Toronto was, yeah, it was a great parade. Four guys were shot or whatever it was. And, you know, whatever happened. But, like, you know, so, yeah, the Anthony Davis thing, it's a big thing. And people, even I'm sure at ESPN, are ecstatic that the Lakers would have to monumentally screw this up not to go deep into the playoffs next year.
LeBron and Anthony Davis, Jeff, it seems like a perfect basketball marriage. Other than Dwayne Wade, this now becomes the best guy he's ever played with. And I, with all due respect to Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving and Chris Bosh and everybody, this is the best guy he's ever played with. How do you fill out the rest of the roster? Put on your general manager's cap. Are you looking for shooters? Are you looking for a wingman? I'm sure the Lakers are thrilled that they got to hold on to Kuzma, okay, because he's a terrific basketball player. How do you fill out this roster and not only become a team that goes deep but goes all the way to the NBA Finals?
Well, I think, you know, the finals for in the Western Conference is truly open now with the Warriors – injury situation.
Right.
I think Davis, obviously, the only thing that's ever gotten in his way is his health. I'm interested, Mike, in how he enjoys being second fiddle in L.A. when he's always been the best player on his team. I think then, just like last year, I was surprised how they built their roster last year. I think you need shooting, you need toughness, and you need basketball IQ. I think they went for more guys who could go off the dribble last year, which has some, you know, really, you know, that's smart too. But knowing that you can't get everything in these people that you add around James and Davis, you need to have guys who can shoot it, who are tough, who have basketball IQ, and also they accept the status quo. That this is about LeBron James, it's about Anthony Davis, and the other players that are playing will not get much credit. You bring in an egomaniac who's going to try to wrest some of the power or some of the credit from James and Davis's hands, then you start to get into those intangible areas that can be problematic.
Yeah, you know, it's very interesting because the kind of guy you're describing is, and I don't even want this to sound like it came out wrong, like an even better Fred VanVleet type, but I can't say a better Fred VanVleet off of what we just saw. One of the names that I'm starting to hear, Jeff, and you probably heard it too, is Seth Curry, that he kind of fits the definition of what you're talking about.
Yeah, he had a terrific year. You know, he shot it great from three. Certainly, I think he improved defensively as well, because one thing you can't have, LeBron has dropped as a defender. He's either slowed down, has to pace himself or whatever, but he doesn't play at that end of the floor with the same energy level that he did as a younger player. And so you also have to surround James, and they have with Davis, because he's a terrific defensive player, they got to get enough defense out on the floor. And that'll be interesting from a size standpoint, because I would think they'd want to put James on whoever the guy is where he can roam and doesn't have a major role on the ball but can use his intelligence and anticipation off the ball. You can't have guys that are undersized all around James where you have to start doubling. So Seth Curry off the bench, good player. Seth Curry, like as a starter where he'd have to be guarding starting twos in our league, a little bit more difficult.
And Jeff, I'll tell you something. When I look at this trade and I look what David Griffin did and looking at it from the New Orleans point of view, I think both teams were right here. The Lakers can't pass up this deal because of where LeBron is in his career and his age and the mileage on him. And Griffin, you know, everybody says, oh, they could have gotten this deal in February. I'm not so sure they could have gotten this deal in February. And now that in addition, and I don't know how deep this draft is going to be, he did as well as you could possibly do being held hostage by the player and the agent.
Well, I think this, you know, until you're in that position, you don't know, could you have done better? You know, people said they should have gotten Kuzma or, you know, whatever. It's going to come down to this. Is Ingram going to develop is he going to be healthy?
Yeah.
If he's healthy, can he go from a good player to a very good player to a borderline all-star player? If he can, great. Can Ball improve offensively because he does some other good things well? But if he can't shoot it better, that's going to be a struggle. And then Hart is good. You know, he's not going to be great. He's serviceable, coming off your bench. He's tough, smart, whatever. So it comes back to just what we talked about before, Mike. David Griffin has these draft picks. Number one this year. Number four, like he's got to pick the right guys. If he does, it's going to be a heck of a trade. If he misses on the picks, then they're going to be stuck where they've been stuck, even with a star in Anthony Davis, sort of in the middle of the pack or lower.
It's going to be very interesting to see what kind of player Zion is in the NBA, because as much of an amazing talent as he is, I do have questions about his overall game, Jeff.
Well, I think his athleticism, his energy level, I love the way he played for his team last year, so I think he's got all of that. And then, you know, a lot of this comes down to how serious you are about your improvement. You know, no one comes in a finished product, particularly these young players. Well, going all the way back to LeBron James and Kobe Bryant, who came in super young and have gone on to be these transcendent stars. They didn't come in that way. They came in with great talent and a start, but it was their work ethic and their improvement that allowed them to become all-time greats. It's going to be the same with Williamson. Can he take his raw athleticism, the start of a good game, and improve his shooting, his handle, his passing? If he can do all that and continue to grow, he's going to be great. If he plateaus in those areas and can't improve, then you know, he's not going to be as good. It's that simple. And no one knows how important it is to him to be great. And that's going to be answered in the coming years. You know, how diligent of a worker, how serious of a worker he is to be great.
Jeff Van Gundy is our guest on the Mike Lupica podcast. More right after this from Geico. Okay, this is a 30-second commercial, and I'm going to throw a lot of numbers at you, but please stay with me, because if it doesn't confuse me, it's not going to confuse you. In just 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. This company has been offering great rates and great service for over 75 years. And anytime you need help, you can speak to one of their trained specialists 24/7. The company, of course, is Geico. Go to geico.com today. Sorry for all the numbers. And in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Oh, damn it, I'm out of time. You know, Jeff, when you look at the Lakers, and again, it's a trade they had to make for a player that they absolutely couldn't pass up despite the cost, okay? I don't think they're in the clear yet. The jury, to me, is still out on Rob Pelinka. I actually think they hired a terrific coach in Frank Vogel. I mean, people forget the job he did when he was with Indiana. To me, he's the kind of coach that I'm sure you admire. Not a Nick Nurse type, but you know what I'm saying. A professional gym rat, a career guy. But now, you know, now I think the hard work really starts for them, don't you?
Well, it's all the hardest part, Mike, to me, roster building, is to find best players that are capable of winning a championship. We already know it's true in James. Davis, we certainly think it's true. And then I think what they do with the remaining money they have and picking those right guys is really a challenge, because depth wins now. We see more guys sitting out more games for more reasons. And you can't go in to a season with a 7-man team. You have to continually try to build that depth. So I'm really interested to see ultimately what Rob Pelinka does with that roster and how he continues to build the depth using the remaining salary cap money he has. And then even more so, like when they get to veteran minimums, who wants to play with James? I think Davis obviously did. And now I'm interested to see who else wants to sign up for this group.
Let me talk about a team that you once coached that's, you know, they play just a couple of houses over from you, the Rockets. How much is there to this story about Harden and Paul? Because just from 30,000 feet, I've never thought their games were completely compatible. That was just me. That I'm not, you know, way more about basketball than I do. I just never felt that Chris Paul was completely happy in this setting. Can that marriage be saved?
You know what happens when you lose? Frustration takes over, blame is parceled out, and everybody, you know, all the, especially nowadays, with all the unsourced material that's out there, everybody's unhappy, or that's the way it's reported. I think what you have to do within the group is determine what's real and what's not, what was temporary and what's going to be long-lasting. Certainly James Harden is going nowhere. So he's solid. Like this idea that the Rockets put out yesterday that they're not trading Chris Paul. Listen, if they get the right deal, they would trade anybody.
Yeah,
and
right.
So, and that's right. Okay to know. I mean, it's not a bad thing. It's just that's how it is. But his contract most likely is immovable if you want to stay in championship contention. I thought the most interesting quote I read yesterday about their situation is that Chris Paul wants to coach James Harden. And James Harden, this article said, is a little bit aloof and doesn't want to always be coached by another player.
Right.
Everybody knows who's coached Chris Paul. He's very, very demonstrative, and he, like a lot of these star players, wants to get his way. And it's to me, it's interesting how Mike D'Antoni manages that situation. And will they sign Mike D'Antoni to a longer-term contract than 1 year? Because this seems like it could get dicey if he's on the last year and Harden and Paul truly do have issues long-term.
We're talking to Jeff Van Gundy on the Mike Lupica podcast. Jeff, when you look around the league, the fun of speculating on where guys might go is just the fun of being a sports fan, okay? And because Jeff and I have lived in this world, I always tell people, don't think that we somehow know more than you do about sports. But let's just say that the two landing spots for Kawhi are Toronto and Los Angeles. And again, there's no way to read his mind, but do you think there's a part of Kawhi Leonard thinking, it's already been as good for me in Toronto as it's ever going to be? Or does he say, wow, this was great. We won. We can win again. I am the most popular non-hockey person probably in the entire country, and I ought to stay right the hell where I am.
That's the hard one. Somewhat like Durant, Mike, I think if he was definitively staying there, he would have said it at the parade, right?
Yeah.
And I don't think it's definitive. I think now I don't know what he's going to learn from either the Clippers. Because listen, the idea that they can't start talking to other teams, we all know in sports, but particularly the NBA, no one abides by those rules. There's talk. They already know all this. Like, everybody knows what everybody has to offer. What I'm interested in is, the biggest part of his decision money, winning, or how are you going to manage my health? Like, I can see him saying, since he didn't play in 22 games this year, listen, I'm going to play between 50 and 60 games a year. I'm going to decide, because I think he decided what games he played in there.
Yeah.
Like, if you can't abide by that, then I'll go someplace else. I think Toronto, obviously, would abide by that. I think any other team that wants to sign Kawhi is going to have to acknowledge that part of it and abide by that. And just because Toronto won with him sitting out a lot doesn't mean that every team he could go to would still be able to win and rest him. See, what they did to me was so incredible in Toronto. They actually played at a higher winning percentage when he didn't play in the regular season than when he did play. There's very few teams deep enough, tough enough, good enough to be able to hold the fort when your star is out. But to be able to play better, tremendous job by Toronto. And completely underrated when it comes to them winning a championship.
Yeah, I mean, what were they? It was like 17-5, or I mean, some crazy number.
17-5 without their best player.
All right, let me ask you this. And again, if you're a guy, you always say, "Oh man, what a man that guy is." But it's, you know, if you got daughters, then you know you sound like an idiot. So I'll just say this about Klay Thompson: what a human he is. How about that guy? After tearing his ACL, telling them that he wants to go back into the game.
There's no question. And I think, and Mark Jackson says it all the time, both on the air and off the air, he doesn't say a whole lot, but he is like superbly conditioned, tougher than you would ever think, and just wants to play basketball. He's not into credit, like, big, you know, big endorsements. He has some, but that's not his thing. He's not a brand. He's a player and he's a baller, and that's what he enjoys. And for him, like, to come back out there and want to play, certainly was a credit to his teamness. But listen, I have no idea. That guy, I don't know how to say his name, Celebrini, the doctor.
Yeah.
Like, after the Durant injury and now Thompson, he was like in the fetal position in the back. There was no way Klay Thompson could come back in that game. Come on, man. I've never seen two star maximum level players from the same team have season-ending injuries in back-to-back games. It's like, what? Who has that? Bad luck.
I said to you before, I can't remember. I remember the year all the Lakers got hurt and the Pistons beat them, but this was different. This was two catastrophic, career-changing injuries. And, you know, that's the thing about Kevin Durant. You know, who knows what shape he and his game are going to be in, even when he's all the way healthy again, because you know how devastating that injury is, Jeff.
Oh, terrible. I mean, I was reading yesterday, they had all this out there about, you know, just the drop-off. When you're coming back from that injury, that you can still be really good, but it's hard to, at that age, to retain or ascertain that greatness on an every night basis.
How much fun is it for you to continue to work with Mike and Mark? I mean, I've known Mark Jackson since he was a freshman guard at St. John's, and I obviously, you know, it's just like you say about sports. Chemistry doesn't mean anything if you don't have good players. So you've got this great three-man booth, but having watched Breen grow up in this business, Jeff, oh my God, he's just at the top of his game right now.
Like, beyond great. You know, like the best going right now, like, just, you know, he loves the NBA basketball and he loves the NBA players, the league office. He loves everybody. And most importantly, he loves the officials, right? So he loves every part of them. And you know, I'm always amazed about, like, Mike's every night greatness. And so it has been fun to watch him, like, become the voice of the NBA. I don't know how many finals he's done. I think it's 14 or 15 now. It's truly a remarkable climb for an incredibly dedicated broadcaster. And it's really fun to work with Mark and Mike and Doris because, you know, they're friends. And whenever you can work with friends, it makes it that much better.
By the way, my favorite moment at the end of game six is when you are still coaching. There's 0.9 seconds left, okay? And you're saying, if this happens and that happens, and Mark Jackson just quietly said, you know it's over, right?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I love about Mark. Yeah. He wasn't having any part of that, was he? Like, no part of that. They had a chance. I give him credit for that.
Oh, man, thank you for doing this today. I lean on you way too much for it. You're too busy talking for a living to do this for free. But again, I appreciate your wisdom, your sense of humor, and your generosity with this podcast. And now, do you get to take some time off now?
Yeah, we're going to start. The good part is we get to start USA Basketball for the World Cup here in the summer. So that's what we're focused on right now, is trying to help Greg Popovich and his staff get ready for the World Cup, and should be a lot of fun.
Give my love to your family. You have a great summer, my friend. Your work was first rate again during the NBA Finals.
Appreciate it, Mike.
The Mike Lupica Podcast is produced and distributed by Compass Media Networks in conjunction with Hiltzik Creative. For iPhone users, go to the podcast app and search the Mike Lupica Podcast. Click on the Mike Lupica Podcast icon and subscribe. For non-iPhone users, you can listen on Google Play Music, TuneIn, Stitcher, or your preferred podcast platform.